Summer's here, and it's time to bring the heat in a new Honda. Head out on an unforgettable adventure. Or take a sporty sedan for a spin. All while driving with confidence. Check out the Civic, Accord, or HR-V during the Honda Summer Event.
See dealer for financing details.
Hello and welcome back to Serie A Spotlight. We're your hosts Jake
and Matt.
You know what time it is!
I can't tell you guys enough how much you've been my internal monologue when thinking about football for the last year.
Yes! Amazing!
We get to record while drinking some wine.
Jake and I will have a very special soft spot for Salah.
Yeah, we love him.
Stop zooming in on Allegri's face, boy. You're gonna make
How
me
are you
break.
Exposing me?
Because you're gonna make me break.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Serie A Spotlight. This is episode 176, and we're your hosts, Jake
and Matt,
here to give you our tops, flops, and unsung heroes for every single team in Serie A for the 2024-2025 season.
Stay tuned to the very end, because after we give our tops, flops, and unsung heroes from this season, we will jump to our Serie A team of the season. But let's go in order of the table. Let's start off with Napoli, my brother. Who is your top for Napoli?
Oh, there can be only one, right?
3, 2, 1.
McTominay.
Absolutely. Yes. Why did you put McTominay? Of course, Napoli had players like Lobotka. Napoli had players like Lukaku that all played a significant role. Why did you go for the MVP of Serie A?
I went for Scott because he stepped up when others couldn't, when Napoli were struggling to invent goals, you know? I mean, shutting up shop was never really Napoli's problem this season. The problem was sometimes producing goals, especially against a low block. He was the one out there who invented goals, to be honest with you. He's got 12 goals and 4 assists from midfield. He worked tirelessly. I put him as top in terms of spirit, not only contributions on the pitch. He embodied everything that Conte wanted to see from his team.
Absolutely. And Conte, we know he changed formation a number of times. He was one of the players that fit every single formation so well. And it's almost like the team was built around him because of the impact that he had in his first season in Serie A. I think that has to be factored in. I mean, the guy does have 12 goals and 6 assists in 34 appearances.
Ooh.
Yes, bro. 12 goals, 6 assists in his first Serie A season. And the way he was linking up with Lukaku, that was a match made in heaven. And that really is the eye that Antonio Conte has when he's building his team.
Absolutely.
He scored the goal that won them the league. He scored all the important goals towards the end of the season. He fit into every single system that Conte put together. He played pretty much every single match that Napoli played the season. Definitely the top, and there is it's obvious because he is the MVP of the season.
Of course. When it comes to... Shall we move to flop or unsung hero?
Flop.
Next? Flop, okay. For flop, I put Noah Okafor.
Oh, good shout. Good shout.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Kvara replacement.
Yes, exactly. He showed up. I don't even think he started a single game. And he barely got any minutes, man. He would come on maybe for 5 minutes here and there at the end, like, and was actually not even utilized at times when Napoli were really struggling. They had Neres out at one point as well. They were begging for someone to take on a man. You know, they didn't have a single player who could take on a man. They really needed him, and he couldn't step up. He was unavailable.
Good shout, good shout. I'm going for Cyril Ngonge. Played 202 minutes, 0 goals, 0 assists. Not considered as an option at any point. Politano was absolutely run to the ground. They'd rather play Spinazzola out of position than play Cyril Ngonge. I think those two wingers are easy candidates.
Yeah.
Just because another one came to mind... And I do want to talk about him a little bit. Giovanni Simeone, again, not considered as an option, not considered as a vice for Lukaku, who was playing every single game.
Uh-huh.
I know that it's one game a week, but you'd hope that Simeone could come and make an impact.
there were moments when Lukaku was unavailable and he didn't even kind of, he wasn't even in contention, Simeone, for that starting spot. Raspadori, to be honest, has a claim to fame for unsung hero, by the way. Mm-hmm. He filled in that deputy role for Lukaku very, very well. And it's true, it leaves Simeone a little bit stranded in his career as well. Like, where does he go from here after that monstrous season at Hellas Verona?
Exactly. And I think a lot of players make this jump from a small team to a big team. It works for some, it doesn't work for a lot of them. And I think Simeone falls into that category. I think he does need to reevaluate. Maybe go to a team like Udinese, who might lose Luka, or go to one of these mid-table teams, so to say. Unsung hero. You mentioned Raspadori, and it kind of pisses me off that I didn't put him there.
No, he's not mine, though, either.
Not mine either.
I put Rahmani as well.
He started every single match. He was subbed out once all season. He only got 2 yellow cards. He led the league in touches, total passes and successful passes, and he was consistent. Without Buongiorno by his side, he managed to step up, much like he did 2 seasons ago, and I thought he was very, very consistent and very good. Yes. I was going to put Lobotka, but I feel like he's a bit more highly rated nowadays. Mm-hmm. I feel like Raspadori, because he got goals, it's not fair to call him unsung. I think I had to go Rahmani. What was your rationale?
Absolutely. Rahmani has been a good player for a while. However, he has always had a technically better centre back next to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's always had like Kim next to him or Koulibaly. I believe he did play with Koulibaly.
Yes,
right?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
And they were always kind of holding his
Kim
hand.
Min Jae
exactly,
as well.
Exactly. And they were always leading kind of the back line for him. This season, with Buongiorno coming in, we thought we're going to see the same thing. Buongiorno would take over and Rahmani would kind of shadow Buongiorno. But in reality, in the end, Buongiorno ended up having an injury-ravaged season. And Rahmani had to step up to be that leader at the back. And he held Juan Jesus's hand at the back over there and kept them as the best defense in Italy. So I think he really stepped up. And he's not the flashiest name of them all. You hardly ever hear him being brought up in conversation, but I think, yes, he had a very impressive season and he is one of the many unsung heroes of Napoli.
Exactly. So let's jump to second place Inter. Now, let's not have too much recency bias after the Champions League loss.
Yes,
And after their season has essentially collapsed as a whole.
Yeah, the season is very long, right? And it's very difficult to pick a top when you have a team like Inter who have so many players performing at a high level at different times. For example, Thuram had an incredible start to the season, right? I saw some people as well put him in their team of the season, but I just couldn't do that. He wasn't consistent enough until the end for me. I tried to pick someone who was consistently good throughout. And for me, for Inter, one guy who was solid throughout the whole season and his absence cost them very dearly 3 games in a row is Dumfries.
Dumfries is fair.
He worked tirelessly. He was unplayable for many of the wing backs in Serie A. They couldn't keep up with him. He managed 7 goals and 2 assists. And Inter, quite frankly, couldn't stretch their opponents without him.
Mm-hmm.
Without him, Inter weren't very dangerous on the counter.
Yep, I agree completely. I feel like he improved a lot defensively as well, which is where he was mainly criticized, was an absolute workhorse, definitely a star player.
Yep.
I think just someone that was constantly available and just constantly a star and just regarded as one of the best in his position is Bastoni.
Oh yeah.
I put Bastoni as my top for Inter.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why you even have people who, from watching the Champions League and Prem heads and people that barely watch Serie A, saying this guy is top 3 centre backs in the world right now. And it's rare to get that this season in Serie A, where most of the teams struggled or performed worse than previous seasons.
Yeah.
So I think Bastoni, and as well, a really unique set of skills that he has as a centre-back. He can attack, he can defend. He does a lot of work when he's covering DeMarco, who bombs forward.
He's a deep-lying playmaker, man.
Exactly.
Because he can, his passing is excellent as well. His range of passing is very physical. He's a great player overall. The best Italian centre-back at the moment.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Flop.
I put his friend Bissek.
Great one.
Yeah.
Great one. I considered Bissek
as
well.
His mistakes, his many mistakes that caused slim leads to be thrown might have cost them the league.
I think, and I'll go on record saying, I think Bissek lost Inter the league.
Yeah.
The amount of last-minute winners or goals conceded in the last 10 minutes that came from his lapse in concentration or just a simple error, I think that goes down to him. There were literally direct errors that he made in that Juve 4-4 game. Yeah. There was a direct error he made against Parma when they came 2-2.
Against Bologna as well.
Against Bologna as well. There were plenty. So I agree with you. I couldn't not go Meditaremi though.
Okay. Okay.
Meditaremi. And I think another thing that cost them dearly is only having two strikers.
Mm.
They only had two strikers because Correa didn't perform. Arnautovic could have easily been the flop because he missed that chance that would have won them the league.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not the only chance that he missed because I thought Arnautovic, for the most part, was fucking awful.
Yeah, he burst into life for like four games.
Two,
there was
three
a spell.
Games.
Yeah, yeah, but it's not enough, of course, to and not to be considered a flop.
Exactly. And Taremi, the thing is, I expected that kind of from Arnautovic. I expected that from Correa, the same way I expected it from Alexis Sanchez last season. But I wouldn't expect that from Taremi, who was really, really wanted by Milan and other big clubs around the world and has the record that he had in Porto on both the Champions League and the domestic league alike. So I think from expectations to reality, I think Taremi is the biggest flop. In that sense.
Fair enough, fair enough. Yes, a striker, you'd expect a striker at Inter to definitely rack up a few more goals than that.
And right? I thought his playstyle would fit, but clearly it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't translate, as long as he got his goal against Milan, right?
Exactly, of course, yes.
And the devastating comeback.
Uh-huh. Unsung hero?
I don't think you can have a 36-year-old man that plays every single match, 49 matches in a single season, and not call him the unsung hero, because not only did he do that, but he was also one of the hardest working players on the pitch. And Inzaghi cannot operate without him, because Inzaghi brought in Frattesi, he brought in Zielinski, and he brought in Aslani that can also play, well, a bit less. But at least those two earlier options that I mentioned, no one even got close to displacing Mkhitaryan.
Exactly. Yes, yes. He's my unsung hero as well. To be honest, Inter's squad is very highly rated.
Mm.
So it's very difficult to pick someone who's unsung. Mkhitaryan, I think, has a reputation overseas as kind of being finished.
Yeah.
Or being that guy who didn't do well at United or whatever, even though in reality he wasn't even bad there.
Mm-hmm.
I put him as the unsung hero because he's always available. He always seems to be one of the hardest workers. You know, he has these little bursts of pace down the middle, which can still make the difference in transition for Inter. And I enjoy him as a player. He's very good.
Definitely.
It's Mkhitaryan for me.
And he's one of those where you look at him and you say class is permanent.
Exactly.
Because his technique for a player as industrious as him, it's rare to find someone that is that industrious and have that level of technique at 36 years old.
Yes.
So
legs gone, airlines gone, talent's there.
Yeah. Next up, in third place, we have Atalanta. Top, I mean, shall we do a 3-2-1? 3-2-1,
Retegui.
Capocannoniere.
Capo.
First season, he made that jump, right? He made the jump from Genoa to Atalanta. Last second, panic purchase by Atalanta because
Scamacca got injured,
and the rest is history.
Yeah.
I mean, 25 goals and 8 assists is crazy, man.
He broke Inzaghi's record, the only previous capocannoniere for Atalanta, scoring 24 goals in a season.
Yeah.
He beat it by one. So yeah, definitely has to be Retegui, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course, then it was between him and you look at Ademola Lookman as well. Ederson's very good.
Yeah.
So Retegui ended up taking the cake simply because of the record he broke, in my opinion.
Exactly. Flop. For me, there are two and I have them both listed. I do have to make a quick decision.
Shall I tell you mine?
Go ahead. And
I
if
put
it's one, I'll choose the other.
Ooh. I put Ruggeri because, I'm sorry, you shouldn't let, if Zappa Costa is your competition, you shouldn't let him become a permanent mainstay on that left side, especially when you're an up-and-coming talent who had been hailed and praised on the European stage by some very good players. I forgot who it was. Last season, a top player hailed him as an up-and-coming star, Ruggeri. And this season, he barely featured. Zappa Costa was a mainstay on that left side.
Well, Zappa Costa sounds like a fair shout for unsung hero as well.
Because that's what you get in there, no?
Yeah. I went for... God. Zaniolo. I went for Zaniolo.
You can put him on like three teams.
Yeah, exactly. I went for Zaniolo and I also have Daniel Maldini. Yeah, listed down. And the reason I have Daniel Maldini listed down is because there was an absolute hype train for Maldini. He was called up to the national team. Plenty of hype surrounding him. And then he just went to Atalanta. He had many an embarrassing moment. Loads of huge misses.
That's it, man.
But then at the end, he found his footing a little bit in one game, to be honest, against Parma, where he got 2 goals. And he got 3 goals in his past 2 matches. For that reason, I might give it to Zaniolo, who just didn't fit in. And I thought I'd see the Gasperini effect with Zaniolo, who's really fallen off. He's going to Roma Primavera games and fighting everyone. Did you hear about that, bro?
Yeah, getting drunk, urinating on the facilities.
Yeah, he sent 2 Primavera players to hospital. I'm giving it to Zaniolo, because he's a bit of an asshole.
Il figlio di Zaccagni.
It is Zaniolo.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. Unsung hero.
Unsung hero at Atalanta. For me, it's the classic. I've picked him, I think, in the past 4 seasons in a row for unsung hero. Same. When it comes to... It's Mr. Heatmap.
Yes,
because his heatmap is just red.
The unsung hero of Atalanta for the past 8 years.
Yes, it's Darum.
Exactly. Absolutely.
36 appearances, 85 minutes per game, 4 goals, 4 assists, and his heat map is absolutely crazy.
He was dispossessed only 7 times this season.
What? That's insane.
Okay. Fucking mental. 1,438 passes completed out of 1,631. 95 percentile.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's a fantastic player. Mm-hmm. And great, funny guy on Twitter.
Yep. I also want to give a very, very special shout out, because I was going to give it to this guy. If I was a bit more of a hipster, I would have. Berat Jimcity, dog.
Oh, yeah.
Berat Jimcity. And I thought Hien was good this season. Mm-hmm. He had a few moments where he showed that he's still finding his footing. Mm-hmm. But Berat Jimcity as that final man is... really important for
him. Yeah, he's an anchor, right? Mm-hmm. Literally, a player you don't even notice, to be honest, but he's very good.
Yeah.
Striker's nightmare.
Juventus.
For me, it was a difficult one out with Juve.
God, the flop was
quite straightforward. And then when it comes to top, there's one that's kind of obvious, but I didn't go for it. I went for Thuram.
I thought of Thuram and I gave it to Yildiz. You know
Thank
why?
God, we have both.
You know why? I was thinking about it and I thought that for the most part, Kefrem saved them.
Yes.
For the most part. He was the only, essentially the only signing that worked. Mm. I gave it to Yildiz because I'm an absolute stan of his because I watch football and because I watch Juve play and you watch that rigid system that didn't work. Boring style that didn't create much, and then you see Yildiz get the ball. Yeah. As like get the ball and pass it to Yildiz. You have to give it to the guy who you look up wherever he is, you pass the ball to him, and he doesn't lose the ball. So for me, Kenan Yildiz
almost cost them the top 4 with that mistake with that red card, but absolutely everything worked out. For me, Thuram was just this powerhouse in the middle who managed 9 goal contributions, which was crazy in his first season, right? And he kept his position comfortably and ended up actually racking up 35 appearances for Juve in his first season. I thought he was a machine. He could do everything, right? He was a complete midfielder.
Yeah. And I think one of the coups of the transfer window. Yes.
Speaking of coups.
Oh, okay. Your flop
my flop isn't Coop.
My flop isn't Coop Miners either, although he was a flop.
He was, yes. However, it's the guy who started
Euros.
Yeah, three games. Three games. Douglas Luiz, of course. Luiz.
I have to be empathetic, and I think he went through a breakup with Alicia Lehmann.
Hmm.
I'd play like shit too, what can I say?
Unfortunately. No,
clearly something was up, because the guy is, he was hailed to be world class when he was in the Premier League. Yeah. So, definitely the easy flop, 50 million euros, right?
Yeah.
The unsung hero, mine is wild, huh? Mine is fucking crazy.
Mine's really standard. I put Di Gregorio.
Fair.
Because he's honestly, his saves are so clutch. He's so good. Cat-like reflexes. He's, there were times when they had slender leads, you know, 1-0 leads. They won many games 1-0. Juve and drew so many at the beginning of the season. Di Gregorio was massive in those games.
Yeah. And we said this, when he was at Monza, that he's the next big goalkeeper in Italian football. God, I'm so embarrassed to say mine, man. But fuck it. I stand by it because I thought about it for so much. I'm not going to go back on my word now. My unsung hero is Dusan Vlahovic, bro. My unsung hero is Dusan Vlahovic. He is literally the top scorer. And he only got shot on this season.
You know
for
what?
A good reason.
Fair
for
enough.
A good reason. But man has 10 goals and 4 assists in 29 matches. Not what you spend that amount of money on. But in such a struggling state, this guy managed to score 10 goals and get 4 assists. And he's considered one of the biggest flops of the season. So unsung as fuck, in my opinion.
Fair enough. Not even unsung. He's just hated.
Mm.
Straight up hated. So fair enough. Yes, bro. That's fair logic.
Nice. Okay. I was embarrassed about that.
I'm sure people are going to call you a freaking moron.
Absolutely. But you know what? I don't give a fuck.
Roma.
Miles Villar.
Yes.
Miles Villar.
Yes,
absolutely. 16 clean sheets.
Same logic as Di Gregorio, but on an even grander scale, man. He was a monster. And it's not every day you hear the crowd chanting for a goalkeeper.
Roma had around, I was really tired when I was doing this, but I counted 8 1-0 victories for Roma this season. I remember in at least 5 of them, this guy had world-class saves.
Yeah.
The streak that they were on of victories in a row, a lot of them come down to those important saves in 1-0 scenarios.
Absolutely.
He was as important as the goal scorer in those scenarios.
Absolutely.
Super slept on. Could have been unsung, but to me, he's actually the top.
Yeah, and if you have to pick someone who's performed consistently throughout the whole season for Roma, he's one of the only ones, of course, because of the turmoil that they experienced, of course. Flop was easy, right?
Was it?
Yeah.
Who'd you go?
Pellegrini.
I went Pellegrini as well. 25 games played, 2 goals, 2 assists, slows the game down. He's lost his confidence completely.
Great moment against Lazio, but overall, massive flop. Not what you...
Easy sale as well for them. Easy swap. There's also a shout. I know injuries, so on and so forth. And this is the only person that I considered that had terrible injuries this season. You guys know who I'm talking about, Dybala. The only reason I considered him slightly, he's not my flop, but the only reason I considered him is because they turned down big money for him and he spent the rest of the season injured.
Yeah.
Which is a trait you get with Dybala, just super frustrating. I believe 6 goals in Serie A, then he had a significant hamstring injury in March 2025, which sidelined him for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, he had 6 goals and 3 assists, which isn't even 10 goal contributions. You know, I know, of course, with Dybala, it isn't only about the contributions, but it's about, you know, the men it takes to mark him, the space he can create with a single move, you know, the fact that you can give him the ball in almost any way and he'll find a way to control it and all that. But he was a little bit disappointing this season and has been steadily kind of becoming less and less effective.
They could have made big money.
Yeah.
They could have made very big money.
Absolutely.
Hindsight, because we thought he should stay. We thought if you love football, you want the ball at your team.
Yeah.
Unsung hero, I think we could do a 3-2-1 here. I think we're going to agree.
You think so?
For sure,
you
I think so. 3-2-1 Indica.
All right.
Fucking. How can he not be? Bro, this guy played 90 minutes in every single game this season. Every single game.
And please keep in mind, he collapsed in one of them.
That was last season,
that
surely.
Was last season?
Surely it was.
I'm getting...
Yes, it must have been. I mean, he played 90 minutes. That was a substitution if I've ever seen one. 1,687 passes completed. He's in the 97th percentile. 24 blocked shots in the 94th percentile. 99 clearances, 88th percentile. Just two yellow cards all season.
Yeah.
Ndicka, bro. Evan Ndicka.
He was excellent. A proper defender.
And really grew from last season. Really, really grew. What an improvement.
It's true. It's true. Absolutely. Moving on, we have Fiorentina.
Top 3-1.
Moist booty queen.
Moist booty queen. For one reason and one reason only. The revenge gritty.
That's it.
The revenge gritty. Well, speaking of glow-ups, though. What a glow-up.
As in performance.
Yeah, performances, yes, from last season. Yeah. Zero goals.
It's insane. I mean, last season he had one of the unluckiest seasons I've ever watched from a football player. He scored so many goals that were ruled out. He hit the post so many times. The offside calls on him were like literally a toe. Like it was just color. You can see like literally.
I think he broke a record for the amount of posts that he hit in a single season.
I recall something like that as well. But yes, 19 goals, 3 assists in the league this season. It is the revenge gritty.
Absolutely. Shout out to David De Gea.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Shout out to David De Gea, who saved a bunch of penalties to win a game. We don't talk about that. Flop, I think we could 3-1 here as well.
3-1.
Colpani.
Yep.
Joined with his manager from Monza, where he seemed like a star in the making.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like whatever system was implemented at Monza, I was going to bring him with him. Like, look, this is the guy I'm bringing with me. It's the guy I need to implement this system. And he just failed to break into the starting 11. He recorded 2 goals and 2 assists. 2 goals and 1 assist of those came in one game against Lecce. Will they redeem him for 12 million? That'd be stupid.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he hasn't lived up to it, right? Maybe there are some growing pains, but it's not looking good now that Paladino has left as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see what's to come of him. Unsung hero was...
It was tough. It was really tough. There were 4 in my mind. I did end up going for Gosens.
Gosens, nice. I went for the other side. I went for Dodo.
Dodo, nice. I thought of Gosens. I thought of Ranieri. Mm. I thought of Dodo. I thought of Beltran, because a lot of people forgot how important he was in the first half of the season. Yeah. And I also thought of Rolando Mandragora.
Yes. However, you know, Mandragora is quite well known for his goals as well. And because of Fantacalcio and all that, of course. Even Ranieri has made a name for himself. I don't think he's unsung. I think he's almost a fan favorite at Fiorentina. Now he's even earned himself a call up to the national team.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah,
to see him.
And to be fair with that logic, I mean, Dodo isn't totally unsung, you know, but he isn't really mentioned in conversation for potentially one of the best right backs in the league, which I think he is.
I thought that he had, this was definitely his best season. Mm-hmm. We had a viral clip once calling him the Dodo Bird.
Because of a silly red card, right?
Yeah, because of a silly red card that he had gotten. He is a hothead, but a calculated one. You saw him get into Theo Hernandez's head, where they were fighting on one side and just the ball was rolling past them. But also attacking and defending, just his all-around game has really improved. I thought Gosens, I know he got 5 goals, 5 assists from left back. Still don't think he was talked about enough. Some really important goals. And he just found his form all over again after he had a terrible spell at Inter with injuries. With Atalanta, he really fell off towards the end. But he's back, man.
He is, yes. Good shot.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Lazio, oh my God, the top was hard.
The top, man. It's
I know what you're going to say. I know yours. I know yours. You know, I know yours. Yours is Pedro.
Yes, it is.
Yours is Pedro.
But you know what it is, man. The team didn't succeed for most of the season thanks to Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
However, they remained in the running for every single thing, every single competition they were in, because of Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
Pedro was that lease of life when everything started sinking.
Yeah.
For them. When everything was going well, you could pick everyone as the top for Lazio. You know, I mean, at the beginning of the season, you could have picked Castellanos, Zaccagni, Rovella, Guendouzi. You could have picked anyone, literally. They were all doing really well. Nuno Tavares burst onto the scene and fizzled out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's Pedro, man. He just has a different mentality, a different level of hunger, you know. He made the difference for me in so many games.
Yep, I have to agree.
And only 6 starts, huh?
Uh-huh. I agree with the points that you made. I just, like we said earlier, I do like looking at the entire season.
Yeah.
With that being said, I know this guy had his spells. He had an injury, but Tati Castellanos, not only did he get 10 goals and 5 assists in Serie A, he got 4 goals and 3 assists in the Europa League, totaling 14 goals and 8 assists, which output-wise for a striker like Tati Castellanos is very, very positive. And not only that, but when someone is playing instead of Tati Castellanos, the team gets so much worse because so much goes through him. We know the importance of a striker which perfects a system like this system, the Lukaku mold, the Castellanos mold, the Morata mold when it works in certain cases. I thought Tati Castellanos was this. I wouldn't say the star because Pedro had that star factor because he scored the same amount of goals
in half the minute, which is crazy to me. It just goes to show for me Castellanos is a very good support striker when it comes to being a purely a football player on the technical aspect. He's excellent, but he's much better at scoring complicated goals than he is at scoring simple ones. And sometimes Lazio just need those simple goals. At the end of the day, they didn't manage to get European football because they didn't quite have enough when it came to scoring.
Yeah, you know? And the longevity.
Yeah.
I couldn't choose Zakan even though his numbers compete. I mean, 8 goals, 6 assists in Serie A, 2 goals, 2 assists in the Europa League, an assist in the Coppa. Couldn't pick, and also I appreciate his defensive work and the challenges that he won and everything. But I feel like when they needed him most, he didn't have that star factor that he typically has had in other seasons. Yeah. I think it was a bit of a drop-off, so I didn't feel comfortable giving it to him.
Fair enough, yes. I kind of thought that when they needed someone to step up, it should have been him.
Yeah, as well. The captain, right?
Should have been him, and I kind of had the same thought with Castellanos. I thought there were times where he should have been maybe carrying the team. But I think it was tough because there wasn't
a clear and obvious person that
it's true.
Was great all season. I was so close to giving it to Rovella.
I was really close to giving it to Rovella
because he was that consistent metronome that helped them play Baroni ball.
Exactly.
He'll play Sarri ball now. He's played under Sarri. So
absolutely.
Did he play under Sarri? Or am I saying something crazy?
No, he didn't play under Sarri. I don't think so because he had Luis Alberto and Sergei.
I think he was there for a season.
Maybe. But I don't think he was a regular.
No, he wasn't a regular. Yeah. He wouldn't have any clout with him, so to say.
Yeah.
Flop.
I put Provedel
as well. If you're the goalkeeper and you lose your spot because you have had many moments where you had soft goalkeeper, you displayed soft goalkeeping or direct errors leading to goals, you're the flop. He conceded 42 goals in 29 matches. And a lot of those were thanks to soft goalkeeping, maybe not blatant errors, but just shots you should be saving.
And one of his strongest characteristics is that he's good with his feet, right? Mm-hmm. Mandas came in and impressed everyone with how good he is at his feet, almost just rubbing salt into Provedel's wounds. Yes, going from a starter to the bench makes you the biggest flop over here because the other candidates were Chauna and Noslin.
Yeah, exactly.
Noslin had that one game where he became Maradona, so we can't give it to him because of that one game. He scored like 4 goals, I think, against Napoli. Was it against Napoli? It was against Napoli in the Coppa. Yeah. That's insane. And Chauna, it was his first season, growing pains. You'd expect him to maybe not have a season as bad as he did, but Provedel should have been one of the leaders, one of the mainstays, right? First name on the team sheet, but in reality, flop.
Who do you go for your unsung hero?
I went for Gwyneth.
I went for Rovella. Bit of a sellout, maybe.
I thought Rovella's more highly rated than Guendouzi, but Guendouzi is often memed and joked about when in reality, man, he only missed one game. He puts in an absolute shift every single game. And he's quite refined as a football player, which I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. I just think I agree with you 100%. And literally, he would be unsung in that case because he doesn't catch the headlines, but he's definitely doing the job. But Rovella, to me, is still so underappreciated when you consider that everything went through him. Just the calmness that he has on the ball, I think he has a really bright future ahead of him. I get it, he is somewhat rated, definitely more highly rated than Guendouzi. I did feel the need to give it to him though.
Fair enough, fair enough. Yes. 23 years old nowadays, Rovella. I think he has a very exciting future.
Completely. Yeah. Milan are interested, apparently. Oh, what a segue. Milan are next. The top.
Congratulations, Manchester City, on the acquisition of the top player of Milan's 2024-2025 season, yep. Tijani Reinders. Well done, he made the cover. This was a drawing I drew a while ago. I didn't have the heart to draw him. No, I wouldn't have had the heart.
No, and you drew that for me. You bought his shirt for me.
Matthew's a massive Reinders fan, so he's heartbroken right now.
I have his kit. I had Tonali's kit the season he left. I have Reinders' kit the season he left. Yeah. And you know what? I have Zlatan's kit, who's the guy pulling these fucking strings.
Exactly. So all I ask you now, bro, is buy Ruben Loftus-Cheek's kit, please.
10 goals, 5 assists in Serie A, 3 goals in the Champions League, 2 goals in the Coppa. His output for a midfielder is ridiculous. Honourable mention to Pulisic, who also had a fantastic season. I think he had 11 goals and 11 assists.
Yes, absolutely.
He was ridiculous and super clutch, but Reinders was the Milan's best player on the pitch every single match.
Absolutely.
What a devastating loss that's going to be for Milan. And yeah. It hurts.
Absolutely.
It hurts so fucking much.
But hopefully now they okay, here we go. He's going to start. Hopefully they reinvest and keep balance in mind, because a double pivot of Fofana and Reinders defensively was a disaster this season. So hopefully this can bring a bit more balance.
Flop. You have an hour of the episode to go through Milan's flops.
You know what, man? I thought that there's a glaring flop, right? There's a glaring flop. There's a guy who has been incredible for 3 seasons, and this season he was pretty much a disaster for the majority. Theo Hernandez is my flop, man. Theo Hernandez. I was going to give it to Loftus-Cheek, but what am I doing? Mm. What were my expectations of Loftus-Cheek? You know, Theo Hernandez looked indifferent at times, and that kills me. Because it's not like he was clumsy or he made many mistakes. He was he just wasn't trying. He looked like he didn't want to be there.
Theo Hernandez, for the majority of the season, looked like an airhead. either he really doesn't give a fuck, or he's stupid. Quite frankly, because it's either laziness or he's not tactically aware where he should be at what time. Yeah. I mean, the goals conceded at the far post. The jogging, God.
The jogging around, the
fighting with Dodo while play is going on his side. Mm. Like, just completely indifferent. I do hope that Milan managed to get 30 million for him. But I gave it to Morata, because he came in after winning the Euros, and he literally, Milan are like, we can't do this all season. Go to Galatasaray, bro. And like, they got rid of him immediately.
And those who are screaming Emerson Royal right now, what were you expecting?
Exactly.
How is
exactly
that a flop?
João Felix. Insane shout.
Yes, is a good shout, actually, because that first game against Roma, when he came on and set up Santi, was we almost thought it was foreshadowing something, but in reality, he wasn't great, was he? He was a liability.
Yeah. Now, unsung was a hard one, because how could you...
For me,
now
it
starts. It starts getting a bit difficult with the teams that underperformed. Mm-hmm. The term hero, it's tough. I went for Alex Jimenez.
Same here.
Yes, amazing. Often criticized. Crazy. You go on Reddit, you go on Twitter, everyone's shitting on Alex Jimenez, his immaturity, whatever. Bro, he's 20 years old. Milan had a significant issue in the right back department. They brought in Kyle Walker. He was more unavailable than he was available. And this 20-year-old was available every single match. And he played fantastically. I thought he was excellent. He entered duels. He managed to stay calm, even though he was purple, bro.
Purple
with rage. And he managed to not get sent off. I think Alex Jimenez 100%.
Absolutely, yes. By the end of it, he racked up 22 appearances. His heat map is decent as well, up and down. He's also done a shift at left back. So, yeah, I enjoyed his game.
Mm-hmm. 20 years old, man. Yeah. 20 years old, keep in mind.
Absolutely. Bologna.
3-2-1. Orsolini. 30 games, 15 goals, 5 assists. Done.
I mean, he was a monster. If Orsolini, if you couldn't give it to Orsolini, who would you give it to?
Dan Ndoye.
I think same, to be honest. Yeah.
Dan Ndoye, for sure.
Yeah.
flop. Here I struggled, but I have
one. I found one I'm happy with, and it's a flop because he disappointed me, because I had high expectations from what I've seen.
Ooh, I know who it is.
It's Hon.
Hon.
Yeah, because he managed to give De Silvestri starts on that side. He gave them a reason to invest in Calabria. He should have had that right-back role locked down, man, with his fitness, his physique, his stature, his experience, the fact that he played for Atalanta as well, you know. He, on his day, he's a monster. So I don't know what the hell happened and why he found it so difficult to do well at Bologna.
For sure. I agree with you. Kind of wish I said that myself, but I gave it to El Azouzi.
Mm.
He ended the season so strongly last year. He featured 18 times last year. Managed 2 goals, 2 assists, scored the goal of the season last year. Now he failed to find his place completely, and he only featured for 17 minutes across 2 matches. That's a flop to me.
That is a flop.
It is a flop.
Yes, he was a hero last season, right? Scored a fantastic goal to get them Champions League football, I think.
Insane goal. Unsung hero.
Unsung hero.
Torn between two again, man.
I've gone for Freuler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he I think missed only one game. Let me confirm that. Yes, just one game missed this season. Kept everything ticking in the middle, did a very neat job, very tidy, barely ever makes a mistake, doesn't put a foot wrong, wins tackles, distributes the ball quickly. It's part of the reason why Bologna were so direct and can, you know, change play from one side to the other so quickly. I think he did a very, very neat job, a very refined job.
Yeah, you know, I'm a huge fan of Freuler. He's my unsung hero as well. I do just want to give a shout out to Belkema. And there's a reason. No, he's attracting some big names. Well, some big teams are looking at him as well. I thought he had a fantastic season, Belkema. But Freuler, to me, as that number 6, and I think he was my unsung hero last season as well. Just super. Unplayable on his day.
Yeah, love Belkema as well, bro. Great ball-playing defender.
Yep.
Ah, Como next.
Oh, nice.
Top. Who else?
I mean, who else? Say yours.
Nico Paz.
Okay. Yep. All season, right? Because he was there all season.
Yeah.
6 goals, 9 assists. If you watch football, you'll see how technically gifted this guy is. I agree. I gave it to Paz because he was there all season.
Mm-hmm.
But if Diaw was there all season, he would have easily been the top.
Like, he came in.
No contention. 15 games, 8 goals, 1 assist. He was, for those 15 games he was available, the undisputed top of Como. Absolutely. When Como started their rise, when Diaw scored his first goal against Milan.
It's true. He hit the ground running. It was crazy, man, how well he was doing. And it's not like there weren't players who were doing well in his position. For example, Fadera was doing really well. But he just amped it up a notch, man. So good. So
I agree. Flop.
Flop. For Como, I put Sergi Roberto.
Okay.
Because he only managed 8 starts. Like, you're 33. You're not 38 years old.
True.
You know, you're coming into a team that's just been promoted. You are an international superstar. I expect him to do a bit better, no?
And I thought it'd be, like, when they signed him in the summer, I'm like, okay, that's a staple. Great nailed-on starter. Same as Alberto Moreno, for example, and all those guys that I think they could all be considered. I think, just to mention, I'm not going to give it to him, but...
No.
I'm not going to give it to him, but just to say it, Ali played 9 minutes and got a red card. That's all he did this season, just to say
Bro,
it.
Bro, you know, he's been...
My flop is Belotti.
Is he still there?
He left in January to Benfica.
Okay.
Didn't even notice that he left. That's how important he was. And they brought in the season Serie A striker because one thing they did was Fabregas took them up and Ossian Roberts and said, Cutrone, we're going to show faith in you. We're going to take you up. You were great last season. You're our captain. We're not going to sell you. We're not going to remove you. Nothing. But we're going to bring in a seasoned Serie A striker who's on a dip at the moment. Right? He went from Torino, he dipped and went to Roma. And he got some goals at Roma. And he did nothing. He failed to displace Cutrone completely. And he was almost a liability at times, man.
Absolutely. Your logic, once again, is flawless. This guy was meant to be the main striker. Mm-hmm. And he ended up, yes, leaving halfway through the season. Ah, yes, Belotti's career has been a bit of a tragedy, eh? Since that rumored move to Milan for 80 million or whatever it was.
Madonna.
Remember that?
Imagine that. And you would have would have been this trajectory would have been way more depressing for us than it actually is.
Young Hong Lee's head would have been on a stick. Unsung hero at Como.
I went for Kemp.
I went for Dacunha.
Ooh.
Dacunha, man, played 36 games. He was at the heart of the midfield, contributed offensively and defensively, took set pieces as well, did a very tidy job. How old is he, is my question. He's 23 years old. He plays like he's more experienced in reality than he actually is. So, yeah, he impressed me a lot.
Kemp, I thought, is really slept on when it comes to one of the breakout defenders of the season. Mm. I think if you look at his stats, he's in the 90th percentile for interceptions, 97th percentile for aerial duels won, 93 percentile for clearances, 91 percentile for shots blocked, and quite tidy with the ball at his feet, 85 percentile for passes, 86 percentile for successful dribbles, crosses completed, 87th percentile for center backs. I thought he was just very dominant in the air. When they went on those on that string of clean sheets, I thought he was pivotal them. Him and Dossena, super.
Absolutely, I agree. As Joey D's team name once said, Mein Kampf.
Controversial.
Controversial right there.
Torino.
Fennec with the controversial thing.
I think we both can agree on the top for Torino.
Yes.
3, 2, 1, Vanya.
Yes. And no... I don't know, I was going to make a stupid joke. I'm not even going to say it. It would have been so cringe, bro.
Come to Milan.
Yeah.
When Chelsea buy Vanya for 10 million, I want you at Milan.
Absolutely. Vanya Milinkovic-Savic is the type of goalkeeper that makes you afraid to approach the opposition's box. He is barely human. He's ginormous. He's intimidating. He's brave. He's so brave. Like, he'll dive into your feet. He'll put his head where most people won't even put their foot. And he gets down so low, bro, and so quickly. He busts down so quickly. Honestly, no, he can't.
Busts down for me, Vanya.
He's cat-like as well, despite being 6'8" or however tall he is. No, he's this season he took another step in his career. And if it weren't for those bloody 3 stupid mistakes he made towards the end of the season, he could have been the keeper of the year for me.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Even on penalties.
He had the most saves in Serie A with 135. He saved 4 penalties from Pasalic, Retegi, Castro and Pulisic. 10 clean sheets. Easy one.
Yeah.
Easy one.
Exactly.
Release clause of 20 million, by the way, which is nice to hear. Yeah. Any top team, I see if Manian leaves Milan, I see Napoli, who should take a step up from Meret, in my opinion.
He would really suit Napoli.
He would really suit Napoli. Yeah. He'd really suit Milan. Flop. Flop was tough because I didn't look at any players from Torino and say, wow, these guys are like...
Terrible.
Terrible, yeah. You know?
But you know what? I did look at the team and I was like, wow... He's still here. Last season, Tameze played 25... He made 25 starts. It's not even 25 appearances, 25 starts. He was a pivotal player, played in midfield, played in defense. He was a very plug-in problem.
Yeah.
Like you've got a problem, your solution is Tameze. Mm-hmm. This season, he only had 9 starts. He was disappointing. He faded into obscurity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fair. Good shout. Tony Sanabria for me.
Tony Tone.
With Duvan's injury, I thought we'd see more of him. I thought it was obvious that we were going to see more of him. But they made the January signings to change the system, to play with a one-striker system where Shea Adams, I'm not going to say thrived, but he did well. Mm-hmm. He only featured for 1,319 minutes this season. With Shea Adams new to the league and Sanabria having all that league experience under his belt, you'd think that he'd at least battle him for that. Mm-hmm. But he didn't manage, so he is my flop.
Fair enough. Yes, makes sense. What about your unsung...
Does Richie count?
No. Richie's very highly rated.
He's very highly rated.
Pep Guardiola has posters of him in his room.
Then I'll go Maripan.
Maripán.
I thought Maripán was good. 89 percentile for interceptions, 90 percentile for aerial duels won, 94 percentile for clearances, 87 percentile for shots blocked.
Where do you whip out these stats, bro? I'll show this is you, great. Bro. I'll show wow, you, like, show you. Nice. I mean, I put Lazaro.
Okay.
Lazaro was consistent, ooh, 33 appearances, and this is the best I've ever seen him play. Hmm. And
bro,
he even managed 6 assists.
We were watching a random Torino game with Theo once, and Theo knows ball, yeah. Our friend Theo. And he was like, who the fuck is this guy? This guy,
he's had a really
unbelievable,
good season.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So, I kind of agree with you, but I will stick with
It's good
Marpan.
To have a variety.
Yeah.
Udinese.
Udinese top 3.
No. I'm afraid I didn't do it, bro.
You're fucking kidding me. This season you didn't fucking do it, bro. This season you didn't do it. He had his best season.
I know, but I can't give it to him. Because when there was one player that when he was out, the whole team changed its dynamic. The course of its dynamic. And even if you kept this one player that I'm referring to, I'm sure everyone knows, it's Thuvan. If you keep Thuvan in the team and you put Davis up front, it won't be as bad as putting Lukan and removing
Thuvan.
He's everything, man. When you have a team that's so rigid like Udinese, granted Lukka was extremely prolific, and his conversion was excellent as well, and he made the most out of the scraps he was fed. However, the person who was feeding the scraps was usually Thuvan, and he managed 8 goals and 3 assists. I think without him, Udinese sucked straight up. And even when Lukka was on the pitch without Thuvan, he was barely getting involved. Poor him, obviously, because there was no one else to actually involve him in the play.
I thought he wasn't all that Thuvan this season, to be honest. I thought he had a bit of a dip at times. Not to say that he wasn't as important as you were saying. Yeah. I thought that I've seen better from Thuvan as the years have gone by. And with that being said, I thought Luka had his best season to date. I mean, 12 goals, 2 assists, and just look at the quality of the goals he was scoring, and look how important he was in the build-up phase as well. He's that kind of striker. He's a fox in the box, but he also likes to hold back and receive that long ball, chest the ball down, play it to Thuvan, play it to the winger. I thought he was more important than just a goal scorer. And absolutely, some of the goals he scored were from nothing, huh?
Yes, from nothing. Yes. He outperformed his XG by a lot. Don't get it twisted. I love Luka. I fucking love Lorenzo Luka.
I know
Luka,
you do, bro.
I love
him. He's essentially your favorite player at this point.
Yes, he is fantastic. Even the technique he has for his height, he's kind of...
Ballerina Cappuccina.
Ballerina Cappuccina puts it very nicely. Flop.
I felt a bit like an ass doing this, but Alexis Sanchez, because 0 goals, 0 assists.
Fair enough, but he's like
0 goals, 0 assists. 0 goals,
he's
0
busy,
assists.
Bro.
Score once.
Score
get,
one.
Get a penalty and like score it or something.
I have the same logic with Brenner. Remember Brenner? Like, Davis was preferred over him, and Davis isn't really anything special. You know, Brenner is kind of a player who can dribble, who can take on a man, who was a kind of exciting, well-rated striker. Davis is kind of your traditional number 9. You put him in the box, he's a bull. No, he is crossed him. He's a very unrefined target, man. And the fact that Davis was being preferred over Brenner, I found it a little bit floppy on Bremer's end.
Fair.
Only 9 appearances in total.
Good shout, bro.
Thanks. Unsung hero. On the pitch, I hear this one. I'm not sure. Is he on some?
Two written down. Sole. I have Sole
right?
And Lovrich.
Lovrich
is
a great route.
I think Lovrich's work rate throughout the season, and not work rate per se, but his involvement in both the attacking and defensive phase. I mean, the recovery and then the progressive passes, a very good balance of both. I think he's more important than people make him out to be. I mean, I think he's quite highly rated as well. But I think Sole changed a lot since he came in. I think as a defender,
for
he,
sure,
he was their best one.
And he can advance, he can dribble, he can shoot. He's very fun to watch. He changed the dynamic at Udinese defensively, especially when you see how Touré had been playing before him.
I know, Touré was an absolute
and
disaster.
A potential candidate for flop as well, Touré, with two red cards.
Fair, Fair. And an own goal.
Yeah. Jinx.
Genoa.
Top.
Pinamonti.
Friend group.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
You know what I did from my reaction.
You put him as the unsung hero.
I put him
hero.
As my unsung hero.
Yeah, but he's getting a lot of attention from top clubs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know he's not the flashiest name. Most people will be like, who the hell is Frendrup? But I thought he was... I think he is one of the best in his position in Italy.
Frendrup?
Yeah.
I agree.
When it comes to that number six role, like he's... Mm-hmm. And he can do it all. It's not just simply a number six. You can play him as an eight.
He can play as an eight as well.
Yeah, 35 starts. He was pivotal for Genoa and their survival, their easy survival this season.
I thought Pinamonti got big goals this season, man.
He did.
I think
did.
10 goals and an assist and big goals, man. Important goals. In a team that struggled to find goals and he adapted well to the new manager. As a striker, it's really difficult to adapt so well to a new manager halfway through the season or even earlier than that. But Pinamonti did well. And one of the reasons I put him is because he simply hasn't performed this well in previous seasons. He's been a flop in previous seasons. But they have every reason to exercise the option to buy from Sassuolo.
Absolutely, yes. And he has improved a lot. Yeah. What about...
The flop of Genoa.
Yeah, I mean... It's a little bit unfair because the second he was brought in, the coach who brought him in was sacked, and the coach who infamously doesn't like him came in, right? Yeah. I mean, it's Balotelli.
Mm-hmm.
Six appearances.
Zero goals, zero assists.
Once again, you're not that old. You have enough status to, and enough of a reputation and enough skill and talent to really play more, man, than that.
No, he flopped.
You know, Pedro is coming on for Lazio and making the difference.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You're telling me you can't even be utilized for 5 minutes. You're that unfit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, and I think it says a lot when you're not an option at all in a manager's eyes. I think it shows that what you were doing in training wasn't enough. Because if you have the talent that Balotelli has and you increase your work rate, then I think you have a shot at coming off the bloody bench. But none of that, so I would say that he flopped. It was obviously a strong shout to bring him into Genoa in the first place because he's been playing with I don't know who in Turkey for the past.
However,
years.
He did have a moment where he burst into life in Turkey. He was scoring
goals. When he did like 19 step overs.
And then scored a Rabona.
It's like... One of the shows that he's playing with, right? you know, you already know my unsung friend Drup, the heartbeat. Shout out also to Vasquez and De Winter.
Yeah, my unsung hero is Vasquez.
Mm.
36 appearances, an absolute monster at the back, managed 3 goals as well, which are very important for a team that doesn't score much. And I have Leali as well as an honorable mention because Leali actually had a good season and he's very important to the way they build up play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good, very nice.
Hellas Verona.
Top.
Coppola.
I agree.
34 appearances and leads Europe's top 5 leagues in interceptions with 72 in 33 appearances. Absolutely. In 33 starts.
Uh-huh. Can you check something with regards to that stat? I think it's for under 21 players. No.
This is in total. No,
okay.
This is for everyone. Yeah. In fact, there's Van Dijk in 10th, for example. Wan-Bissaka in 4th. Some big names. Or Valverde in 13th.
My God. Yeah. Gravenberch, who had a lit season at Liverpool.
Yeah.
Coppola, 100%. He'll make a big move. Still young, man.
Apparently, the Premier League is all over him.
Mm. Uh-huh. Spurs?
I think it was...
Aston Villa. Aston Villa.
Yikes. That sucks. But anyway. Flop.
Livramento.
I put Frese.
Okay.
Frese had 5 starts. He was meant to come in and become a staple to the team, you know.
I mean, Livramento, I thought it'd be a bit more of an option. He only played 932 minutes, got 1 goal and 2 assists.
He had a good start, especially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fair enough.
Fair shouts for both.
Unsung hero, the classic.
Is it the classic? Who did you go?
Montepo, no.
Oh.
Montepo is amazing, man.
Fair.
He's so good. Yeah.
Fair. I've gone for Serdar.
Serdar, nice.
I've gone for Serdar because similarly to what I said about Lovric, he's really involved in every single, like, let me just read to you some stats. So in shots taken, he's taken 1.24 shots every single match, right? And then when it comes to dribbling, he's had 14 successful dribbles this season, 1.34 per match, out of 25 dribbles. Sorry, those are successful dribbles. He's made 25 dribbles, 14 of which were successful, okay, which makes puts him in the 87th percentile. And then when it comes to his defending, he was solid as well. 80th percentile for ground duels, tackled 76th percentile. So yeah, I just thought he was involved he in was every good. Single phase yeah, of the pitch yeah, for absolutely. A team that was struggling.
Yeah. You need these hard men in midfield.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think Duda had the best season.
He was one of the better ones, of course, but he wasn't the best one for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can't put him as unsung because he's known to be their best player.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But I thought Serdar did some great work next to him as well. Definitely absolutely. Worth a shout.
Cagliari, I couldn't... Man, the top was so hard to pick because there were four options for him.
Okay.
Four options.
I have quite a few listed as well.
It was between... Let me tell you. I had Caprile.
Mm-hmm.
Piccoli, because of the fact that he started scoring and actually was quite prolific. Zortea and Yerimina, man. Mm.
I put Piccoli.
Piccoli. I put Zortea.
10 goals and 3 assists for Piccoli.
Mm. Yeah. Another striker who's really found himself, or who has adapted well, rather, with his move. Zortea, for me, was tireless. He made everyone's life a living hell on his side. He attacked as well as he defended. At times, he was a little bit too selfish for my liking.
Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't put him.
Yeah, but 6 goals, 2 assists, say, from right back is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is. Piccoli was the target man. Piccoli going forward, it was get the ball to Piccoli.
Mm-hmm.
And he scored some big goals, some important goals for them. 10 goals, which is his best in a season yet. And you just see that hunger and that desire from Piccoli, which really added to that Davide Nicola effect that he had on a team like Cagliari that responds so well to the energy around the stadium. And I think Piccoli really spearheaded that at times.
Nicola's left, by the way.
Yes.
Crazy.
I'm not sure if it's the correct shout, Piccoli, because Caprile came in and did a solid job. Yerimina was an absolute brick shithouse at the back.
Even Luperto did a tidy shift.
Even Luperto, a bit more error-prone than Mina, but he gave a tough time to some of the best strikers
absolutely.
In the league. So, flop.
For me, and I think this player wasn't as involved simply because of because of tactical reasons more than anything, but I think Razvan Marin could have made himself more he could have made it harder for the coach not to pick him.
I felt the same way about Luvumbo this season.
Luvumbo had a lot of injuries, huh?
Luvumbo had a lot of injuries. Luvumbo missed 9 matches because of a bruised ankle. Like that's what it is. Really? That's what it is. That's floppy in my eyes.
But he's not a player who gives you output, right, Luvumbo? I mean, he did what he had to do. He wasn't, once again, with Nicolas' style, he plays a very pragmatic game.
Mm-hmm.
So the likes of Marin and Luvumbo was very much utilized in a way, I'll bring you on, go and wreak havoc in their box.
And I thought he failed at that, whereas last season and the season before, he excelled at it.
Fair enough.
And I thought the season... He left a lot to be desired, and I would rather see so many names rather than Luvumbo on the pitch. Sure. Like, I'd rather see Gaetano, I'd rather see so many players.
And even Felice. Yeah. Marin, 13 starts, 3 goals, 2 assists. I think that he's the type of player who, when chasing a lead, especially, can be brought on to make the difference. So good at dead balls. Has a long-range shot on him, so it was a little bit disappointing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Unsung hero for me is Augello.
Augello, I agree.
Immaculate left foot. I don't know what he's been, how he's been training,
DeMarco.
But his crossing has really improved. He had 7 assists, played every single game, didn't miss a single one this season, and has very luscious hair as well.
Very luscious hair. This is post-Parrot Augello that we're talking about. Ever
not
since
to be confused with pre-Parrot Augello.
Yeah, he found his parrot and it fueled him with confidence, with the desire to be on the pitch.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, 7 assists, which is remarkable for that. Like, what is that? Nuno Tavares, man. But then defensively, solid.
Yeah,
as
yeah,
well.
He was fine.
He just put in a great shift.
Absolutely.
You remember when he was like a chemistry student or something when he was in Serie A?
He was at university when he was at Sampdoria. I'm not sure if he continued his studies. You know, it's one of those things that makes a headline and you never see it again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to Adopo, Makumbu, Gaetano and Mina.
Yeah.
I think Adopo and Makumbu were really, really good. And both technically gifted, man.
Yeah.
Both really,
especially Makumbu, man. He's got some.
I'd say especially Adopo, man.
Really? I think Adopo's got, he's better like in the final third. Yeah. Makumbu is quite silky with it.
But Makumbu had had some passes and then, man, that were ridiculous throughout the season. Yeah. Some really good progressive defense-splitting passes. Parma, we're going to disagree so hard on the top.
No, we're not, because it's Bonnie.
It is Bonnie.
Yeah. It's Bonnie because it can't really be anyone else. Because they're very streaky. They come into life and fade out and come into life and fade out. Bonnie, at the end of the day, had 37 appearances. Granted, it's 10 goal contributions and 6 goals for assists. He was always an option and his movement was very good and very important under both Pekka and Kino. Mm-hmm.
And even when it comes to his stats compared to his colleagues, he was first in duels won. Mm. 137 duels won.
Yo.
He's a striker. And third in chances created with 30. I think Bonnie is destined to go to Napoli.
Yes.
I think what he offers is so similar to Lukaku. And I think he can definitely do more than Cholito. Has done to be the vice of Lukaku.
Fantastic, yes. And over 1,000 men in 24 hours is incredible as well. Well done, Bonnie.
Who, Bonnie Blue? Who are you talking?
That's the joke.
Amazing.
Flop. It doesn't make sense when you say the name and then when you look at the goal contributions, but all those goal contributions came
in the first half of the season.
Exactly. And he's right behind us.
I bought you his kit this year.
You bought me his kit this year and he hasn't been the same since. It's Dennis Mann. He started so strong, but then fizzled out. And bro, some of the chances he missed, some of the things he did with the ball were embarrassing, to be honest.
He didn't score a single goal in 2025 when Mihaila, Cancelleri, Charpentier and Benedicak were all injured.
Yeah,
like you have to step up.
Yeah,
in those cases, and you literally the undisputed starter, the best player that Parma have.
Yeah.
However, I did give it to Anqvist.
Okay.
I gave it to Anqvist because I expected a real, well, definitely a lot more from him. 29 matches, scored 1 goal and got 1 assist, and he did that. Actually, 2 goals in his opening game at Lecce.
Yeah.
Last season, I believe.
He did a backflip into a mm-hmm. golf swing. You remember that?
I found Parma and Empoli so hard because they had so many fucking injuries.
Yeah.
So many injuries, bro. You start looking at when you go on like their detailed performances and you see the matches they were available for and the matches they weren't available for. Jesus Christ, bro. Like, you feel harsh giving flop to most people. In fact, the reason I know that Mihaila, Cancelleri, Charpentier and Benedicak were injured so much is because I considered them for flop before I considered Anqvist.
Yeah.
But they were so
unavailable
that you can't give it to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unsung hero.
Del Prato.
Valeri.
Ooh. Del Prato played every single position, what feels like every single position, including goalkeeper at one point, managed 4 goals and really improved his game when Kivu came in. Mm-hmm. At Pekka, I mean, they were a bit of a defensive disaster, but Del Prato was one of the mainstays throughout the whole season at the back, and I thought he had a very strong season in Serie A.
Mm-hmm. He definitely did, and I think he's one of the interesting ones. Once we got a statement rather than a question saying he deserves a call up to the national team. He's not far from it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had with the season that he had, he's a contender. I gave it to Valeri. 35 matches played, 2 goals and 6 assists.
Oh, nice.
From left back is beautiful. And his name of the game, bro, crosses into the box. 3.59 per match. Just hoofing the ball into the area. That's how you get 6 assists as a left back, right?
Yeah.
I think he's a bit slept on.
He is. He's been around for a while. I believe he was at Frosinone. I believe he was at Cremonese, was it? He's doing...
Could be.
Yeah, he had a very good season as well.
I want to mention and give a shout out to Simon Soame, because in an ever-changing starting 11, he started every single game except for one where he was suspended. And he also racked up 4 goals. I mean this, bro. They changed their starting 11 so much through the season, and I felt like Simon Soame was the one from the midfield onwards that just stuck.
It's true, yeah. And he's pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lecce.
Lecce. I found this to be the easiest one out of the bottom teams.
I agree, because it's so straightforward. I mean, when you look at the fact that this season Lecce have scored... How many goals have they scored this season? Let's pull up the stats 1 second. They've scored 27 goals, right, this season.
Uh-huh. 11 of them.
Yeah.
Well, let's say 16 of them, contribution-wise.
Yes, 16 goal contributions came from Krstović.
Exactly. How can you not? Of course, he was a little bit inconsistent, but you know what? So were Lecce. Maybe if you put him in a less inconsistent team or a less struggling team and a more gifted team, maybe he'd be a bit more consistent.
Yes, and you almost can't blame the selfishness. I mean, at times it is unacceptable. He had one moment that when I blink, I still see it sometimes. They were 2-1-1 against the goalkeeper, and he tries to dribble him, and the keeper just like smacks it out of his hands. It was horrendous. But when you're a striker in a team like this, your job is to score, and you don't give a shit who's on your right. You're just gonna try and do what you do, right?
Yeah.
And it's that mentality kind of striker, that keeps him exactly.
He's that kind of striker. You have to let him have it, because when he has it, typically good things come from it.
Yes. Flop.
Ante Rebic. Because he's, like you said, he's 32.
It's 31, he's not even 32.
He's 31. He's 31. He's not 38. Yeah. Why is he playing like he's 38? Why is he so out of shape?
Apparently, it used to be said when he was at Milan that he suffers from chronic back pain.
Yes, there is.
I don't know if there's... Yes, fair enough. But if you have to remove that from the equation, he scored one goal in a team where, I mean, this guy was at Milan last season.
Exactly.
He's at Lecce now. He was doing well at Milan. He was scoring important goals. Milan were relying on him at times. One goal, and of course it was against Juve.
It has to be. Yeah. At least he's remained consistent in that regard. If he's going to score a fucking goal, and he almost scored one from half pitch in that game as well, bro. The ball was going out, and he's like, fuck it, I'm going to shoot. No, it has to be Rebic, though, because...
One of my favorites.
Completely. No disrespect. Unsung hero, Falcone. Apologies for the cop-out. I know he's highly rated, but just season after season, you remember I put him fifth best goalkeeper in the league, when I had just started the podcast. He's not far off, bro. This guy's unbelievable, man, Falcone. I rate him so highly, man.
He's really
good. Some of the saves that he pulls off. And he commands his box well
and
as well.
And especially when you have a team like Lecce. I mean, the reason Lecce survived this year was because of Krstović in the front and Falcone.
100%.
You know, Krstović to score you just enough goals to take you over Empoli over there at the end. Mm. And then you have Falcone literally saving everything that's shot at him, with Gaspar and Baskerotto desperately trying to block every shot coming in.
Shout out to Baskerotto, because alongside Ndika, I believe those are the only two players that played 90 minutes every single game this season.
Damn.
So shout out to you, bro. Now we enter the relegated teams. We enter the Serie B teams, right? Yes. Empoli. We'll start with Empoli. Top was quite straightforward, in my opinion. At least I gave it to Esposito.
I agree, Esposito. If it weren't for Fazzini's injuries, he would have probably got it. But Esposito on the pitch, just from the eye test, you can tell that this player is a cut above the rest. He's so technically gifted. He has such a wide range of skills. And he is absolutely excellent.
Sorry, you have a bobblehead of Messi. And for a split second, I looked and I'm like, is that Thiago Motta, man? He looks a lot like Motta, that bobblehead.
Bring him in.
Sure.
Let's give the viewer something to see. There he is, huh? There he is, Esposito.
Thiago Motta. Yeah.
I thought he was excellent, Esposito. And if you compare him, for example, to Colombo, you know, or... Yeah, if you compare him to Colombo, he just looks so much more flexible,
more well-rounded, yeah, right, yeah, man. He played winger, he played striker, he played secondary striker, and he's on all the set pieces. He's young. Mm-hmm. He was everything for them.
Pellegrini before his ACL.
Yes. But it all happened so quick with Pellegrini.
Hey, flash in the pan.
For flop, again, let me just say this. It was hard to pick anyone because of the amount of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Like Solbakken, Kwame, Zurkowski, Male, they were all they had really long injuries and over 10 games. So I couldn't give it to Solbakken. I couldn't give it to Kwame. I couldn't give it to Zurkowski,
mm-hmm.
who I really expected a lot from this season. I couldn't give it to Male.
There is Kovalenko.
Kovalenko is a fair Kovalenko one.
Because he had 6 appearances only. And this guy, again, has experience in Serie A and has actually scored important goals in Serie A.
I gave it to De Sciglio. You'd expect him to play more than 762 minutes with his experience at 32 years old, man.
Don't worry, Milan will sign him now. Exactly. Reunite with Allegri.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Him and then Rabiot in the midfield. Yes. Moussa playing wing back.
Yes.
Can see it so clearly.
Unsung hero.
Honorable mention to the flop, Ebwehi. I know he started the season injured. I picked him up on Fantacalcio and everyone was like, who? I'm like, now you see.
Now
I had him on Fanta a couple of seasons ago. He was great output wise.
With Venezia,
you know?
Right?
No, with Empoli as well. Empoli, okay. With Empoli. But barely an option this season. Unsung hero, so easy, in my opinion. Jassy, 100%. He missed one game due to suspension.
Exactly. And he always gives, I hate this expression, but 1,000%, right? Yeah. He gives everything, man.
How can it be if percentage is out of 100?
1,000% actually is not possible.
He played 94% of the season. You put it that way, it's pretty mental. In 94% of the season, Jassy. And needless to say, whoever was playing him close to goal is an idiot, huh?
Yeah.
Because this is his position. He's a wing back. Two goals and 3 assists from that position. Later runs into the box at the far post. Low hard crosses. Jassy, amazing, bro. Amazing. On this podcast, we used to meme him so hard, bro. At Spezia.
The player with the worst chances to conversion rate. Yes. Goal score to conversion.
Because it's not his position, eh?
Exactly, yes. Venezia, we've got... My top is Nicolussi Caviglia.
Absolutely.
He's the best player by far on that team.
The heartbeat of the team, the metronome, the set piece taker, the threat at goal.
The guy who might randomly shoot from a corner.
Bro, he's unpredictable. He's intelligent. He's worthy of a top team, this guy. I rate him so highly. Again, another fuck up from Juve in that sense. Allegri liked him, Allegri played him, so I don't know, maybe Allegri will push to bring him in at Milan. Fingers crossed. Sorry for the random I feel Milan so hopeless as a Milan fan at the moment that I'm just clinging on to maybe getting Vanya, Nicolussi, Caviglia and Luca. Leave me alone.
I've reached the point where I'm like, I hope we get Nicolussi Caviglia, but I hope he doesn't play too well so we don't sell him.
Because you're so right.
If we bring him in and you bring Nicolussi Caviglia in for 20 million, he has an amazing season, you sell him for 70 million. That's Milan's model. It happened with Tonali, it happened with Reinders. We'll see.
Reinier. Also, 35 matches played, 4 goals, 3 assists.
Yes.
Flop. Caviglia. Jorinen.
Gitgear.
Fair.
Straight up, not a striker for me, let's just say that.
No, and Poyan Palo was much better than him. Poyan Palo had 6 goals in half the time Gitgear was there for.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the logic of getting rid of Poyan Palo.
I mean, Palermo offered him, they doubled his salary. Palermo.
Yeah.
Their city group, eh?
Mm-hmm.
But that's it, eh? I mean, I highly doubt Venezia wanted to lose him. Then they replaced him with Fila. And by the time he adapted, it was the last match day of the season.
Exactly. Jorinen was benched after match day 7 due to a string of poor performances. Since then, they started 2 different goalkeepers. Yeah. Because they brought in Stankovic, where they promoted Stankovic. Mm-hmm. And then he got injured. So instead of going back to Jorinen, they brought in Radu.
Exactly.
That's how hard he flopped.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Unsung hero, I have Yeboah.
Not Jay, it says.
Because Jay, it says to me, isn't...
He's highly rated. He's one of the best centre-backs in the league. in my opinion. Jay, it says.
I think he deserves to stay in Serie A for sure. He's great. 100%. He's very mature as well, and as a leader, you can tell. I put Yeboah simply because he's less rated than it says. Again, a player who gives absolutely everything. And I was very surprised to see that he only managed one goal and one assist because he was so involved.
He really was, especially towards the end of the season.
Towards the end, he was really trying, man. Mm-hmm. You could see that he really wanted to survive.
Monza. It's almost over, this episode, bro, after all those technical difficulties that we had coming into it. Low-key, I feel my energy was a bit off this episode because of that, bro.
It's fine, you were good.
We're finally at Monza
now. We get to mention our friend, who's in the intro of our episode.
Our friend who's at the intro of our episode.
Which footballer is in our intro? Every single episode.
What's his name, bro? But why would we get to mention him?
Because he's the flop of Monza. Petagna.
Ah, Petagna.
Yeah.
Ah, he's in the visual. Yeah, he's not in the audio. Yeah. I thought you were going to say... Intro. God, why am I forgetting his name so hard? God, we interviewed him, bro. And I'm here forgetting his name. Joseph Minala. Like, what? Minala was it at Monza, bro?
Yeah,
you have Petagna as your flop.
Petagna is my flop. Like you are 29 years old, bro. You're acting like you're 39. You know, I mean, two starts. You look at him; he's little.
But he has Batman looking over the Duomo tattooed.
Here comes Petagna. He's just extended.
Don't talk for that. Talk shit about Petagna, bro. He answered to my scusa, possibile un foto con me.
Fantastic Italian there by Matthew.
I gave it to Gamvula. He came in to replace Juric and didn't score a single goal. Earlier that season, he scored 5 in 18 for Young Boys and 1 in the Champions League.
And he does backflips when he scores. I mean, never saw them, which sucks. Yeah.
Top. Who's your top?
Danny Mota.
Birindelli. Mota has 5 goals.
5 goals, 2 assists.
And 4 came by match day 8.
Oh, yeah, yes. But everyone shit. I don't know, you're going to pick Keita Balde. The guy was losing the ball, Steve.
He missed 17 games due to injury. But in the 21 games that he played, he scored 3 goals. He was playing right midfield. He was playing right back.
Birindelli was all right. I particularly am a stan of Danny Mota, though, because he came up from Serie C and he always impresses me.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has that leadership quality as well.
I initially went into Monza thinking I'm going to give it to Keita Balde, but he was only there for 11 games. But he was literally the best player they had all season.
But bro, some of the things he did on the pitch were so shit. Like, because he went there and he had that mentality, right? We're relegated. I'm the best. That kind of mentality.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Took off his shirt.
Yeah. Unsung hero, Kyriakopoulos.
Turati.
Fair. I mean, not my favorite keeper, but I mean, no, when you're playing for Monza, but God bless you. Like
some of the saves he made, you'd say. Jesus Christ, some saves that he pulled off.
Yeah, some.
Two on Nicolussi, bro.
Yeah.
Two on Nicolussi. But then, it's obvious where he struggles. He's a goalkeeper that is constantly glued to his line because he can't control his box to save his life. He's a young keeper. Right? He's a very young keeper. That is where experienced keepers thrive and where young keepers struggle. Look how strong Donnarumma is at it now. Donnarumma, or 6'8" of him, or whatever.
6'6", I think.
6'6", struggled so much with that for the entirety of his career at Milan. That's where he struggles. But as a shot stopper, Turati, he saved Monza. Promising. He saved Monza. They're in last place, relegated. But unsung hero.
He saved them from embarrassment. Yes. Yeah. And he's a keeper who's gained a lot of experience already at 23. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's played at Sassuolo.
He's owned by Sassuolo.
Yeah, Frosinone as well. He used to play there. Great trajectory by Turati. Perhaps he is the post-Donnarumma goalkeeper in the future. We'll see.
Post-Donnarumma goalkeeper.
For Italy.
Turati?
Oh.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Carnesecchi.
Karnesecki, fair enough. I forgot about Karnesecki. Karnesecki's how old?
Like 25, is he, man? Karnesecki.
Karnesecki is 24. Yeah,
fuck it's all me, about man. Karnesecki. Fuck me.
Good, man. Italian keepers, they always deliver. In the past, recently I heard Vieri speaking. He said in the past 15, 20 years, there's been a problem in Italy with strikers, right?
Yeah.
And it's so true. One thing that's always consistently at a high level been produced season after season is goalkeepers.
And defenders.
But keepers, bro, yeah, which is, they're phenomenally. You always have one of the best in the world. In this area.
Then there are the Germans, bro. The Germans always have Germans. Fantastic goalkeepers. Yeah. I mean, Ter Stegen, Neuer, Lehmann, Kahn. Yeah, oh yeah. My God, yeah, bro. Yeah. Anyway, team of the season, brother.
Yes,
team.
Bro. I have to admit, I hated making this.
I hated it so much.
How do you include everyone? How do you give everyone their flowers? What formation do you go? Does your team have to be functional? I didn't quite enjoy
this. At the point, I was going to text you asking you, can I have 15 players if I starting 11? It was painful leaving some people out.
So we agreed to go for a 4-4-2.
4-4-2. Right. Bro, say your 4-4-2. Say everyone, then I'll say
we're
mine.
We're going to do that.
We do that.
Okay, Zvilar, Dumfries, Rahmani, Bastoni, DiMarco, Orsolini, McTominay, Reinders, Lookman, Keane, Retegi.
We're almost exactly the same. Zvilar, DiMarco, Bastoni, Rahmani, Dumfries.
Okay.
Orsolini, Reinders, McTominay, Pulisic.
Ah, Pulisic instead of Lookman, that was one of my dilemmas.
Keane, Retegi.
Yeah, one difference. We have
one difference.
So does that mean we are spot on, or does that mean that
we are both dorks, doofuses? I have two players in brackets that I wanted to die not putting them. And there, I was going to do this thing, bro. I was going to drop DiMarco, but I couldn't because of his numbers. I was going to drop DiMarco. I was going to put Bastoni left back. No. There was also Angelinho.
I was
going
to put Miranda, man.
Oh my God.
Miranda had a great season.
He did have a great season.
He was one of the best left.
He did.
Excuse me. Where is Theo? Excuse me.
Saudi. Or apparently, no, what? Atletico Madrid. And you know, we get, bro, Nahuel Molina. Give me a free kick. So I was going to put Bastoni left back instead of DiMarco to fit in Indica. To put Indica, Rahmani. It would have been Bastoni at left back. Indica, Rahmani, Dumfries. Another one that I had was I was going to go. I was close to doing it, bro. Bologna wingers on both sides. But Pulisic, what he doesn't give you in direct game involvement, is he gives you this one non-negotiable, undebatable thing, bro. Consistent
output.
Yeah, consistent. Yeah. And you look at his entire season, it's not like he was super in form at one time, then he fell off. Consistent output. 11 goals, 11 assists.
I thought after
22 contributions.
After his injury, Pulisic, I thought, was always taking a little bit of an extra touch. He wasn't as good as he was at the start. His output is fine. Don't get me wrong. But then when you look at the numbers, like Lookman ranked up 15 goals, 5 assists, 20 goal contributions. That's hard to omit. And then when you look at the way he plays, he's just an agent of chaos. Is he gonna go right? Is he gonna go left? Drops his shoulder, fucking megs a player, makes two defenders kiss and hit the ground. You know what I mean? He is very, very good. And I put him there simply because of the, when it comes to talent, I think he's more talented than Pulisic, quite frankly.
Yes, well, in a different way, because I thought Pulisic as well, and then he, even though Lookman is also versatile, I think Pulisic is very versatile.
I think Pulisic
deserves to be in the team of the season. Yes. I really think he does. And then you look at in the Champions League, gets that opening goal against Liverpool. You know, scored against Real as well. Scored against Real Madrid. Did he? I think he did. Him and Reinders.
Sure. You know who else is missing, man? And I was going to drop Reinders.
Ederson.
Lobotka, man. Ederson as well deserves a show, but Lobotka, deserves to be in the team of the season, or Lobotka?
100%. But how can you not have McTominay or Reinders, bro? If it was a 3-5-2, why didn't we do a 3-5-2, man?
I don't know, man. You texted me like 4-4-2.
4-4-2! If it were a 3-5-2, I would have Zvilar, Bastoni, Rahmani, Ndika.
Yeah, agreed.
You have to go with DeMarco Dumfries, especially if it's... Because then you miss the wingers. You can't put Orsolini.
Yeah.
That's where... I'm smart. That's why I went 4-4-2. You lose one defender and you lose one midfielder.
Unless
sure,
you make
but you
it
gain
super
two wingers.
Dysfunctional, right?
Yeah.
All right. That's it. That tops, that's it. Flops, and unsung heroes. What a day.
I can't wait to see what the audio sounds like, bro.
We'll
I'm so nervous.
It's a mystery.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully it came out good, guys. Don't worry, the producer will be with us soon. Or will he?
Or will she?
Or will they?
Who, what, where, how? Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully we can use this and the audio is okay. We'll see you guys next week. We have something lined up. Once we actually confirm and whatever and do our prep, we'll post and let you know what it is. But don't worry, our weekly episodes are going to continue as always.
Thank you very much for tuning in. As always, we love you.
Ciao, ciao.
If you like Serie A or have ever liked it in the past, it's a good opportunity for you to listen once a week and you'll get filled in.
In the football weekend, that's like the main dish. But then a few days later, you drop your episode and that's like the dessert. And the dessert is just perfect.
It's good, the cake.
It makes it feel like we're all sitting in a room together, just BSing with each other.
The atmosphere is fantastic.
I promise nobody will ask you to send boob pics.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
I love how you go into so much detail and show so much passion towards each and every team. Literally, no team is left undiscussed.
When I listen to you, it's like I'm talking to you in a pub. It's like I'm chatting to a friend and you're chatting to me.